everyone, and welcome to this Signal Special Report, Codex Cliff Notes, Tau Edition. Oh, Kicker, what the hell is going on with your screen?
Sorry, those are fireworks. Apparently, I did a cool thing, and it made fireworks happen in the background.
That's
I
don't how know if excited you can Kicker is to be here for this one, guys. Normally, it's myself and Nikki D, but tonight it's me and Kicker because he's that excited about Tau.
Yeah, generally, I don't like to do the Codex Cliff Notes for Frontline Gaming because, A, I just don't have the time, and B, I'm totally not... I don't know, not competent in this regard. I don't know more. You know, I don't know anything. But this is Crute. I mean, Tau, but really Crute. And so I am here to share everything I know
definitely
about.
Definitely Crute for Kicker.
Yes. So excited. All right, Seth, why don't you explain what we're doing here?
Yeah. So we're talking about the Tau Codex. Remember, if you're new to our Cliff Notes, this is a shortened Codex review. We're not going to go in deep diving and everything, but we're going to hit the high points. But we do encourage you to go check out our other friends of the network, friends of the company that do content review, folks like Tabletop Titans, Play on Tabletop, all of them, Vanguard Tactics. We'll have a nice deep dive, so go check them out. But Kicker and I are here to give you our highlights. This is the Crute Hunting Pack box that is coming out. And this is the first time that anyone's going to have access to the new Tau Codex. So are you excited about that, Kicker?
Dude, yeah, our friends at GW did send me a set a while back, and I had time to go and do a deep dive, not only into the Codex, but into the models. And I know we're going to be focusing on the rules here, but I got to say, this box set is absolutely gorgeous. I know many people might not care, but the packaging of the Codex and everything is just really, really well done. And then, of course, the sprues just blown away. There's so many fun options to build these Crute Carnivores in there that it makes me very, very happy.
And,
so,
and that kit needed to be upgraded. It was pretty old. It was the original third edition kit.
Yeah. And you know what I really like is that the new I don't know, the Crute Farstalkers, it was the Crute Kill Team that came out, I think a year and a half ago. They were clearly designed with this new box set in mind. Everything looks beautiful. They're all sized appropriately. So that's always nice to see. So wonderful box set, but that is the first place where you get the rules, and that is what Seth and I are going to dive
into. Of course, you can pre-order that from Frontline Gaming. I believe at the time of this video being up, pre-orders will be live, so go check them out.
Yeah, well, pre-orders go live, and by the time this video is live, so pre-orders will be live. Sorry, I forgot we're pre-recording.
We are pre-recording, yes. It's new for Kicker. But what's in the Codex itself? We get the index attachment, which is get a little bit of a update, and three new detachments. We have all the new Crute data sheets and the updated Crisis Battleshoot data sheets. Otherwise, a lot of the data sheets remain the same. There are some things that are missing in the new Codex here. A lot of those fine cast characters, Anshi, Anva, Longstrike, they have been retired along with the basic commander in Crisis Suit battle armor. Also, for the first time, we see the removal of drones as a unit. They are still an upgrade that you can buy on suits that give them some sort of benefit depending on what type of drone you buy. But standalone units of drones are no longer a unit in the Codex. So keep that in mind as we go forward. We're not going to go through all the data sheets, but those are some of the big changes to be looking out for.
Now, Seth, do we want to talk about the crisis suits? Because that's a big change too, or is that something we want to discuss later on?
We can talk about it a little bit later on, but they have previewed the crisis suits that they are units of three. I'm going to go back a slide now.
Units of three, though, guys. That's a huge change. And also, Seth, it's not one type of crisis suit. It is three distinct
setups. They have their own basically locked war gear, so double fusion, plasma missile, and flamer burst cannon. They have they've gone back and gotten some of the old names from the lore. So the plasma fusion in the lore was always called fire knife. They also have a fixed piece of basically support system on each of them. They give them certain upgrades, but overall,
and they each have an ability too. They each have their own
unique ability.
If you are a guard player like I am, or you've played against guard, it's exactly what they did with the guard Lehman Russes. They took the one Lehman Russ chassis that used to be one unit entry and made it individual entries for each different primary loadout. So now you have three loadouts for the three different main.
And we're going to need to keep that in mind as we talk about the army rule, which is basically unchanged. It's for the greater good, which is the tool that allows you to use one unit to observe for another unit that's a shooter, and that gives that unit plus one to hit. Because one of the big things that Tau pre this Codex would do is they would take large bricks of crisis suits. Now that they're min three, you're going to be more of an MSU style army, which means not only do you have smaller units of crisis suits, you're going to need more small units to guide those small units of crisis suits. So
exactly.
Keep that in mind as you're going through your codex and looking at things that you are potentially going to have more need for, more things to observe for your units. So it's certainly going to be a change for how a lot of the lists are built.
Yeah, now, that's a huge change.
In terms of the Kyun detachment, that's the index detachment. It's basically unchanged in terms of its core rule, which is the patient hunter. It did get some interesting upgrades to the enhancements and the stratagems, and I pulled these out here that I thought were interesting. One of the enhancements is the solid image protector, which allows you to redeploy, I believe, up to 3 units. That's a typo on the slide, folks. It says 4. It's actually 3. I'd be super excited for 4, but still, redeploying is really good because it allows you to put things back into strategic reserve.
Is this the good redeploy? Is this before?
It's not after who's going first, but it still does allow you to put things in strategic reserve. If you did put, like, I don't know, crisis suits forward, and then you needed to redeploy them, you could redeploy them into strat reserve, into deep strat. So interesting idea there. And then they got the strat combat embarkation, which a lot of people like to use, breachers and devilfish. This, like, dovetails into them very nicely, which is when an infantry unit is charged, it can get back into its transport.
Yeah, that's solid.
So
that's
solid. If you space it right, you have to be within 3 inches of the transport to get in. So you could basically make that charge about 3 inches longer. And then if they're not charging with something that actually can risk popping the transport, that unit's safe. It can pop out next turn and shoot whatever that transport was stuck in combat with. So I like it. It's a pretty cool little trick. Kicker, did you deep dive into any of these besides the I'm going to spoil it now, the Kroot detachment?
Yeah, I mean, guys, realistically, this is Codex Kroot for me. I could care less about the Tau. Now we should touch on something, which is just a fact. You know, it's a fact, and people are going to realize this sooner than later. There's 4 detachments in this Codex, one of those being the pre-existing one, which is a bit leaner than what we've seen previously. And so you really only have, let's just call it 3 for Tau, and then 1 for the Kroot detachment. Because realistically, the Kroot detachment, they are a standalone thing. Yes, they can play nice with Tau, but the Tau get basically 0 benefit if you're running the Kroot detachment. Yeah. Do we want to do it? Let's hold off on the Kroot, though.
We're gonna save Kroot for last. The best for last.
Yeah. So I have played a little bit with the Kalyan, but I think the other 2 detachments are interesting.
Monka is our next one.
Yeah.
Monka is, it's in the Tau philosophy, it's the killing blow. So that's the rule they gave it, the killing blow.
That's Farsight's thing, right?
Yeah.
That's like a Farsight.
Yeah. Well, it's Farsight and Shadow Sun. We're going to get into lore now, folks. I actually know a lot about Tau lore.
Those
are basically the 2 philosophies of Pure Tide, which is either like you're waiting for your opponent to walk into the right position, you're yielding ground just as you need to. That's the patient under saddle. Killing blow is absolute overwhelming force early and often. And so this is ranged weapons have lethal hits on turns 1, 2, and 3. And if your unit is being guided, you get to have assault on your weapons, which allows you to advance and get that ability to shoot even with units that normally
all be things being equal, though, Steph, we have Seth, we have to compare this, right? Seth, this is turns 1, 2, and 3 versus the Kalyan, which is at the second half of the
turn 3, 4, 5.
Like, I feel like the first few rounds of a game are generally more impactful than the last few. What do you think?
Yeah, that's definitely a downside here, because a lot of times those first turn, your opponent can use their positioning to prevent you from really being able to engage all the parts of their army that they want to hide from you. So certainly that could be a detriment to the Monka detachment.
Okay, so you think it's actually better to have a back end heavy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
all right.
If I wanted to, Kicker, I could just try to sit and hide for like maybe 2 turns and not lose too many points. And then you only have 1 turn of your ability. So it's definitely going to take a more aggressive play style to get the most out of this.
Man, that's why you're the competitive correspondent. With me, I was thinking like, of course this is better than the Kalyan, because you get to like, you know, I always felt like turn 1 is so crucial, but you're right. I guess you can totally, you know, basically screw somebody over by just hiding around, you know, hiding turn 1.
And you shouldn't lose too many points doing that. So you should be able to catch up.
Do we have any enhancements we want to talk about? But
so
the Monka,
the one enhancement I pulled out was the coordinated exploitation, which is you put it on a model, and when that model guides another unit, the unit it's guiding gets sustained hits 1. Ooh, so okay, you can cool. get sustained hits and lethal hits, which I think is pretty good, particularly if you have a unit with a decent amount of volume. And then stratagem-wise, now I know the thing that's always been irking me with 10th edition is, generally speaking, across the board, AP went down in most armies. There was less AP available. This is a stratagem from previous Tau Codex 9th edition days. It is a stratagem that allows you, if you have two units shooting the same target, to get an additional AP.
Oh, that's cool.
It's,
okay,
it's pretty strong, except it can't be used on turns 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So back to that, you really have to get the most out of this army on those first three turns, and then basically run up your points lead as much as you can, and then try to coast out through those last two turns.
So that's Monka. Monka looks cool. It's like Kalyan. It kind of works for a lot of different units in the Tau army, you know. Yep. But the next one is really basically focused around battle suits, right?
That is the Retaliation Cadre. This is the one that GW previewed previous this week, and its rule Bonded Heroes applies to only battle suits. So it's not going to affect your basic infantry or your vehicles, or any of your irregulars like your Kroot or your Vespid. And each time one of these units targets any model within 12 inches, they get +1 strength. If they're within 6 inches, they also get +1 AP. So it really encourages you to use those suits up close and personal. We've seen some of the rules previewed on the Warhammer community page. One of the enhancements that they didn't preview yet that I think is really exciting is the Star Flare Ignition System, which is on a unit. Obviously, it's going to have to go on a battle suit character, but that character is obviously going to be attached to a unit. If that unit's not in engagement at the end of your opponent's turn, it can pick up and go in strategic reserve.
So good. That's so
going
good.
Going back
That's
into so reserve, great. Always a good mechanic, particularly if you're trying to bounce around the field. Say, I don't know, with guns that maybe are a little longer range, like that fire knife setup, that hitting that 18-inch plasma and that 30-inch missile. So being able to take that unit, get a few high damage, high AP shots on one target, and then be far enough away that they can't charge you during their turn, and then being able to pick that unit up and reposition them somewhere else, always a good idea.
And, now, and just for doing the objective game, yep, right? I mean, that's awesome. Why people bring assassins with the Imperial armies, yep, is because they just, yeah, it's such
being
a
able
good
to bounce around and just be like, hey, I need a homers. I need an investigate signals. It's a great tool. Now, the stratagem that they previewed, I think, is probably the best stratagem. So I put it on here. That's the shortened blade. It's a 2 CP stratagem kicker, 3-inch deep strike.
Oh, that's so,
hey,
that's
hey,
it. Oh,
hey,
man.
Kicker who likes to play Imperial Guard, how do you feel about three suits with a total of 6 really strong Meltas showing up 3 inches away from your tank?
Yeah, no, that's terrifying.
Activating
that's terrifying. Because now they're in Melta range.
And their AP. And yes, in Melta range.
Melta range. Yeah. And so, it's so hard to block that out. I mean, you have to have a real Horde army to block out that kind of small. Yep. You know, dude, also that really works well with the enhancement you just talked about, because now you have a unit that can literally just drop 3 inches away if they need to.
Yeah. I mean, so if they've got that thing strung out on a flank trying to block you, you can drop that unit in, kill it, and if they can't get to you and touch you next turn, you can just boop off and go somewhere else. So,
that's so good.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the stratagem that this particular detachment is built around. So you're going to see that a lot. Now, remember, that's a 2 CP stratagem, so it is going to be kind of costly. You know, Tau still have a way to gain additional CP using ethereals. They get an extra CP on a 4+, so they might have to have a few ethereals somewhere in the back, you know, trying to farm CP for them to make this work more often, but it is a bit expensive, so keep that in mind. Now, kicker, the last detachment is basically the kicker detachment.
Let's get ready.
It is the Kroot Hunting Pack. Kicker, why don't you go through all the stuff you get in the Kroot Hunting Pack?
And honestly, guys, this is why we're all here, right? I mean, I don't like Tau at all, but guess what? I'm playing Tau now to play the Kroot. So, yes, it is true that you can play an entire army that is just purely Kroot. Will it be good? Probably not. But it will be a shit ton of fun? Hell yes. Yeah. The Kroot, it's unique because their detachment really, kind of like the Crisis Suit one, it really is not going to impact anything outside of Kroot. So if you're running this, you're going to have to lean heavy into Kroot. It's just, yikes. You really, you know, and there's absolutely no benefit from the army rule, which is the greater good, because Kroot don't have for the greater good. So you're getting a really, let's just
now,
call it
to
spicy
be clear, everything Kroot. Else in the detachment would still benefit from greater good.
Yes, everything else will still benefit from the greater good, but Kroot don't provide the observing skill, and Kroot don't benefit from being guided or anything. So you're kind of like, now, because they don't get the army rule, their detachment rule has to be really solid. And I'll say, guys, it's pretty interesting. It's not one part, but basically three parts. One part, first part is skirmish fighters. Kroot have a 6 up invulnerable in melee, but a 5 up invulnerable to shooting. Yes, your Kroot have a 5 up invulnerable to shooting. Now, don't forget,
correct me if I'm wrong, but basically most Kroot data sheets already have stealth built into them as well.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, is how cool is that? So it's minus one to hit, and then if you hit them, they got a five up. Like, that is just sexy, man. So suddenly your Kroot with basically zero armor. I mean, these guys are just tribal guys running around with you know, guns, like, you know, black powder style guns, you know, muskets. They have no armor, but they're hard to hit, and they can take it. They can hit, take a hit. Also, this is kind of cool. They get this other rule, which is Hunter's Instinct. They get plus one to hit if the target is below starting strength, and then plus one to wound if it's below half. And yes, guys, this does work if it's a monster or vehicle. So you take off a wound or two of that, you know, vehicle, and then all of a sudden you're getting plus one to hit it. Now, shooting, you're going from hitting on fours with most Kroot things to hitting on threes. But melee, almost all Kroot already hit on threes. So now they're hitting on two with all their swings. And I don't know if you looked at the Kroot Carnivore data sheet, but they're getting two attacks, strength four, hitting on twos. Like, it's okay. They can start to do a little bit of work. So I'm really excited about that. The other thing is Kroot. Now, oh no, all Carnivore Kroot, which is basically their troop, they become battle lines. So their average Joe Kroot squads become battle lines. You can run six of those, which is, you know,
so
nice.
Kicker, you can have 120 Kroot.
Yes, because Kroot do come in squads of 20. So you can have 120. And I'm not that insane, Seth. I mean, I have a slight sense of, you know, rationality.
I mean, I think on release day, you'll be able to find Kicker in many group chats looking for spare Kroot units.
I will tell you, I will run 60, 100%. I've got three boxes of this launch set already planned. So I will be running 60 in blah. But anyway, okay.
I think 120, but hey, whatever.
Just 120? Well, I want to run a few other things, but we should talk about enhancements, because this is important. The Kroot, if you know, Kroot are fun, but they don't have that much hit. They don't have the teeth. They can take out some infantry, but anything stronger than a space marine, like if we're looking at Terminator, it's going to be a little spicy. We're going to talk about the, I can't pronounce this, it's a gland, it's a type of gland,
Borthrod gland.
Now, for those that don't know, Seth is an avian doctor. Is that the right terminology? So is this a real bird part?
Real at all?
Really?
It is,
I really thought
it was 100% fake.
It's totally fictional, so there's no bloatar, guard, or gland, or whatever. Okay, so this is an enhancement you put on a Flesh Shaper. The Flesh Shaper is one of the new character units. Mm-hmm. He kind of, you know, he has his own whatever lore behind it. But basically, it gives this guy, his squad that he's leading, gets critical hits on a 5-up melee. So now they're, you know, critical hits and on a 5-up, pretty solid.
The Flesh Shaper gives them sustained hits one.
Yes, he already gives him a sustained hits one. So bear with me. You have a blob of 20 guys. You got this Flesh Shaper in there.
Because we still got to talk about the other part of the combo.
We'll talk about that the other part of the combo. Okay. We'll hold off.
Whatever your webcam's doing tonight is something else, man.
It can't keep up with me. I'm too excited.
It's too excited. You were talking about the durability of the Kroot. I have the ultimate level of durability in the enhancements. That is the Hidden Hunters, which is a stratagem for one CP that gives one of your units lone op, aka untargetable outside of 12 inches. That's the ultimate level of durability. If you're outside of 12 inches, you just can't shoot me.
And it goes on any Kroot unit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how cool is that? It's not like, oh, you can only put an infantry. You can put it on your mounts, you know, the rampagers and stuff. So that's a really solid strat. And Seth, you correct, it is one CP, right?
Yep.
Now, that is a bargain buy. That's amazing.
Now, Kicker, you had another one in our notes that I didn't put on the slide here. But what happens if someone kills your lovely 20-man unit of Kroot that you were so lovingly painted and wish you had more time with? What would you do?
My single favorite strat for the guard index is reinforcements. And Kroot have reinforcements with Join the Hunt, which basically you get to recycle that 20-man blob and bring them back in from reserves, which is so much fun. It is 2 CP, but guess what? Bringing 20 guys back from the dead for 2 CP, that's pretty solid.
Now,
I am very excited about these guys, Kicker, in case you can tell.
In honor of you being here and your excitement of Kroot, we normally don't deep dive into data sheets, but I thought we would tonight. So I gave you the option to pick two data sheets. The first one you picked was the Kroot Lone Spear. Take us through the Kroot Lone Spear.
Okay, so we're going to do the bad first. The Lone Spear is he's not really a beat stick character. Definitely not melee, right?
Like, I like his little blast spear.
Yeah, you know, he's cute. He can do a little damage. There's a sniper variant, which is great. You know, he can take out a character or whatever. Or can help take out a character. But really, he is ultimately a buffing character that has, guess what, guys, lone op and built. So you're not going to be able to hit him. He just stays in the back. And when he hits something, anything else that is Kroot that targets that same unit gets full rerolls to hit in both shooting and in melee.
For that turn. So you get for the whole turn.
for the whole turn. So all he has to do is land one shot, and guess what? Everything else in your army gets to fully reroll to hit and wound. I mean, not wound, reroll to hit in shooting and melee, which is so solid, right? Especially, should we talk about the synergy here now? Can we talk about
the synergy? Yeah, you can talk about the synergy here.
Okay, because you can talk about that flesh shaper we were just talking about, that enhancement. Suddenly now you have these guys using the crude detachment rule where, you just cripple, you take out one space marine, right? You got a squad of 10 space marines, you take out one space marine in shooting. Now all those guys are going to get even plus one to hit on them. You get them targeted with a flesh shaper, so they're going to get you reroll the hits. You charge them in for melee. They're hitting on twos, rerolling everything. You're fishing for fives and sixes, which are going to become critical hits. And the sixes explode, giving you another shot. I mean, like, geez. So you're starting to do a lot in there, which is really, really exciting from a blob of 20 boys. Yeah. That means, like, these guys can go up to, a tank with a 3-up armor. They can start to do some stuff, right? Yeah. They can actually start to do stuff. Yeah. I was trying to run the math. They're doing 5-6 wounds to, big stuff at this point, which is great.
Now, Kicker, your lone spear, he had to be kind of close to do this. So is there maybe another rule that maybe keeps this boy alive a little bit longer?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. So yes, he has lone op, which is great. Yes, the model is sexy. Yeah, he has a sniper rifle, which is just cool. But also, after he shoots, he gets to move just because he can. Like
6 inches. So you can move him up. You can fire that shot to give the rerolls to another unit. And then to keep him safe, you can just tuck him back behind a wall.
There you go. There you go. And just move a little bit further away. So the lone op, the lone spear with the lone op and all these fun little abilities, he's making him fun. He also moves 12 inches, which is nice, having a nice character that can go around where he needs to. So there's a lot of flexibility from this one guy. And yes, I will be picking up three.
Keep your eye on all buy sell trade groups for Kicker.
right. But like I said, though, his melee, he's not going to charge in and do damage in melee. That's just not his thing. Yeah. All right. We got one more we have to talk about.
The next one you want to talk about was our friend that was previewed at LVO, the Kroot War Shaper.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that the guys at GW did this whole Kroot, preview at LVO just for me. They know I'm a huge fanboy. Right. So you have this War Shaper. The War Shaper is kind of your stereotypical captain. He's trying to be the closest thing to a beat stick character that the Kroot have. He has two weapon loadouts, a shooty one, which is that really sick bow, and a close combat, which is basically just a sword. Well, whatever. We can call it something fancy. It's a sword, right? Mm-hmm. What's nice about him is he does have a few, he has a few fun rules. One is the squad he's leading can automatically use a strat for free. It's got to be one of those, I think it's the battle tactic strats, right? So that does limit the strats he can use, but it's always nice because Kroot don't have kind of a CP regen option like using an ethereal or something.
Correctly, one of the strats that we found was a battle tactic was a strat for an additional AP in combat.
Yes. Share that? Because that is probably the most valuable.
Yep. So there is a stratagem where if one Kroot unit attacks an enemy, after that attack is done, use this stratagem, and then other Kroot units to target that enemy get an additional AP. So you could have a small, cheap unit, say, I don't know, Kroot Hounds, go in, do the first hit, then the Shaper could do it for free, or you could do it in two different spots.
Yeah. How cool is that, right? And suddenly that big blob of Kroot that was, doing... all those rerolls and exploding critical hits on fives and six. Now they're getting an AP on their swings. Like it's doing a little bit more damage. Every little bit helps, right? And because you can do that for free, it's really, really valuable. So you can save that CP for the reinforcement strat, which you really want to spend it on.
Yep.
So with this cool War Shaper, there's a sweet combo that we're going to start off with giving him the bow and arrow. This is his shooty attack, right? So that's his weapon loadout. You give him the enhancement Root Carved Weapons. That allows the Kroot War Shaper to be having precision and devastating wounds with his guns or weapons, right?
Yep.
Now, the Kroot bow and arrow thing has got three attacks. You can get him hitting hitting pretty decently, getting those rerolls from the Kroot Lone Spear. So he's going to probably land most of his hits. Now, his bow and arrow thing has the anti-infantry keyword, Seth.
Anti-infantry 3+.
For those that don't understand, how does that work with devastating wounds?
So on a 3+, that would trigger the devastating wounds. It would count as a critical wound. And this thing is D3+1 shots.
Yes.
Hitting on fours. Again, if you hit it with a lone spear, you could reroll to hit against that unit.
Yeah.
You could have plus one to hit if it's already damaged. So you're getting a decent number of hits. And the important part is because it's devastating wounds, we don't really care what its AP is. It's AP zero. But it's damage two, Kicker.
Two damage. So whether you're going through a horde, you can be melting a horde apart or just taking out those space marines left and right. Screw their armor.
You can start picking off some characters pretty well with this. And it's got a 24-inch range. So it's a pretty solid little piece, particularly if you're combining him with the sniper variant of the Lone Spear.
Yeah, and yeah, you can take out basically any character at that point. Any infantry character is going to be threatened. And the best part, man, you remember that lone op strat?
Yep.
you just put lone op on him, can't shoot me back. You know, yep. I'll shoot you, can't shoot me back. Put some crude hands in front of him or whatever to absorb a melee threat. Yeah, there's some play here, right? So I'm very excited about this particular model. You know, he just brings a lot to the table.
Yeah.
So Seth, I mean, I like Crute. Is there anything from the Crute? I mean, we didn't even talk about the Crute docs or anything. Is there anything that stood out to you as an orc player? You traditionally like the aggressive bully.
I mean, I like the rampagers. They can do mortal wounds on the charge. I'm always a fan of mortal wound on the charge.
Yeah,
particularly in with the Crute because you don't have access to a lot of high AP in combat. So having mortal wounds kind of gets around some of that. So I like the rampagers for that reason.
Yeah. I believe it's D3 mortal wounds, right? Yeah, it's not one mortal wound.
It's basically the same rule as the blood crushers, I believe.
Yeah, which is solid. Yeah,
solid amount of damage. But overall, how are you feeling about the Codex Kicker? Codex Tau as a whole.
Yeah, I'm obviously very biased. I'm really focusing on the crew personally, but I did look at all the rest of the Tau stuff and it got me excited. Like I want to run a bunch of ghost keels and I'm not too into the crisis suits as much, but the Codex as a whole is basically
taken a lot of the focus away from just crisis suits.
Yeah, it has. So now other things are exciting. They made stealth suits. They gave them a little buff. Do you want to talk about
stealth suits? That's when they guide, they used to give reroll ones to wound for the unit they're guiding. Now it's reroll ones to hit and wound.
Yeah. So I think there's some fun play there. Is it revolutionary? No. I think that there's a lot of attention that was given to the crew because I think the crew are truly flavorful. They're fun. So I think crew with a few different, you know, some stealth suits in there, maybe a couple ghost kills or hammer heads. That'll be a fun list.
Hey, Kicker, what models did you recently collect?
Yeah, ghost kills, and I just asked my buddy, hey, you got some hammerheads you want to give me? Because crude are lacking the anti-tank, punch.
That definitely fills that role. But I'm excited to see how the Codex goes. I think one of the big unanswered questions for me is because of the changes to crisis suits and a lot of the Codex being pushed more towards an MSU type of build, I'm interested to see where the points shake out on that because that's going to be the big determination if you're going to have enough things to make an MSU build really work. But I think there's a lot of interesting combinations here that if they get the points balanced out correctly, we could have a very deep Codex here.
Seth, that's really important that we should focus on that is that points are flexible. Mm-hmm. Points, they can adjust easily. So the points
are harder to adjust, but points are points to that lever that they can pull and move quite quickly and easily.
So upon release, points will probably be tested out for however long, and then they'll probably adjust. Because I am kind of concerned that if these things are pointed too high, we're going to be in some trouble. Crude, if you can't run a bunch of crude infantry,
if you can't run 120 crude infantry, what are you doing?
What's the point, right? Okay. And same with the Tau. The Tau, I think, lost their ability to be a very strong hitting army as much as they used to be. Yeah. Instead, they're a little bit, you got to be
more of that kind of MSU skirmish style now.
I think. Which I think is exciting. I think that's exciting. Cool. Guys, we gave you our thoughts. We gave it to you in a pretty condensed format. Seth, where can they go and maybe see some more reviews? I know you mentioned them.
So if you're wanting a real deep dive going through every data sheet, every possible combination, I would recommend checking out our friends at Vanguard Tactics, Tabletop Titans, Play on Tabletop. All of these guys are going to have nice, deep, in-depth reviews of the codexes. They're a great place to check out them. There's going to be a lot of bat reps, I know, out of Play On, out of Titans, out of Vanguard, so you can see these armies in action. So it'll be really exciting. And of course, stay tuned here for more episodes of Singles on the Frontline, where I'm guaranteeing 100% Kicker will talk about more crew.
Yes. All
right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, folks. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of Codex Cliff Notes Tau Edition. Have a good night.
Crude Edition.
And we will see you next time.
Good night.